Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. We begin reading at verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 9th chapter, and we read verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. From their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to the heaven and said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were by about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, though we'll also be referencing the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in our gospel lesson. But let me remind you of the beginning words of our Old Testament text. Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." This is our text. You know, I enjoy being a parent and a grandparent. But there are certain things that I miss about being a child. The thing I probably miss most is that when I was a child, everything was free. Everything. Yes. When I got up for breakfast and sat down at the breakfast table, my mother presented me with no bill. When I went to the lunch table, no charge. When I went to supper, again, no charge. When my pants were 3 inches too short, she would take me to the store to buy clothing, no charge. And when I was really little, even when I saw some toy that I wanted, well, I didn't always get everything I wanted. But she would say something to me like, "Well, can you just be a good boy during this shopping? And if you're a good boy, I might get that for you." And then she would. And she never presented me with a bill, at least in the early years of my life. Now, understand, it's not that I didn't have any responsibilities. I was a member of a family. Every now and again, it came to be my turn to dust all the furniture in the living room. Occasionally, I had to pick up my toys, at least once a day. And though to this day I've never understood why, when I got out of bed in the morning, my mother wanted me to make my bed. Which, what's the point? I mean, it's going to be messed up at the end of the night again. But then life began to change. Have you ever heard of an allowance? It's not that my duties around the house changed, but if I wanted to get things that I wanted, I had to start using my allowance, which my parents paid me for doing that which I did freely before. My bed got made more often once that they started paying me to do it. Although I still don't, and you can ask my wife, understand what's the point. As I got older, more was required of me. I still didn't have to pay for food or shelter. When it came summertime, though, I had to get a job. I mean, there was simply no arguing about it. Mostly for the first couple of years, I could use the money just to buy the things that I wanted. My parents still took care of clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home. But if I wanted just about anything, it beyond my basic human needs. I had to work for it. And then came college and seminary. I had to work for that as well. But here's the interesting thing, and you know, my father did have a good job when I was growing up. Whatever I couldn't come up with through my work, he provided. And I suppose, although I can't say this for absolute certainty, that if for some reason I couldn't work at all, he still would have provided. So here's my question to you. For all those years that I was living with my parents at home, or at least for part of the year when I was going to college and seminary, was I really buying anything with that which was my own? And ultimately, the answer to that is no, I really wasn't. It was my parents always providing for me. Oh, yes, there were things that I was expected to do, but that was just really another way that they were still providing for me. And in relationship to our Heavenly Father, that's the way it is for each and every one of us. Whether we recognize it or not. Now, following services today, most of you are going to go home and you're going to eat lunch. You probably went to the grocery store and bought the things that you need with what you would have called your own money. As we saw in our gospel lesson for today, if God wanted to, he could provide what you need for lunch, for dinner, for everything, without cost. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Ultimately, it is our Lord who provides that which we have. Luther summed it up in his explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed: clothing, shoes, meat, drink, house, home, wife, children, fields, cattle, and all that we need to support this body and life. He richly gives us out of fatherly, divine goodness, without any merit or worthiness in us. God provides that which we need. And even when these bodies of ours are wearing out, and should that time come when we close our eyes in death, life is not over. God has not ceased to provide. Though he will provide and care for us in a different way, we know through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he's still going to provide. Not because we have earned it by our goodness, but because he loves us. And is being faithful to the promises that he's made to generations upon generation. His stretching all the way back to Adam and Eve themselves. They fell into sin. We are children of the Heavenly Father. And when we come to understand how He cares and He loves for us, it changes that we, as children of that Father, live in this world. The biggest change being we stop worrying. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about tomorrow? We spend so much time and energy worrying about what will be, trying to predict the future, and our predictions are often quite gloomy. We need to remember who our Heavenly Father is, as we know Him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is a God who wants us to work. He thinks working is good for us. He is a God who has things for us to do in our lives. Sometimes He provides for us through our own labors and the things that we do. But we need to remember this just as children know about their own fathers. And though they may at times, especially as we grow older, provide for us through our own labors and efforts, no matter what we need, going to be there. They are going to provide and they are going to give, because that's what parents do. And there's a reason that God wanted to be known as a Heavenly Father, because He loves us. Fathers love children. Fathers provide for children. God, our Heavenly Father, has provided for us. And even when we had given up our own lives through sin, God gave it back to us by asking His only Son to give His life, that we may receive ours. So God would say to us, dear children, stop worrying. I'm going to provide for you. How I do that may change from time to time. Sometimes God even does it miraculously, without any effort of our own. But each and every day we needed to be assured of this, in life and in death, God will provide what we need. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.